You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Catherine Larson traveled throughout the world as an opera singer.
Well, with the church group, choir.
Oh, right? The choir, okay.
Yeah, and she said the reason this will work for you is the choir faces the congregation, and there are a lot of single men in the congregation, right?
Yeah.
So she said, so perfect, you'll meet men that way, and they'll be Christian men. So I came to the first choir rehearsal, and of course I couldn't read music, and so I just faked it. I sang a couple half beat after the person next to me, and they thought I was an alto because I have a low speaking voice. Well, after the rehearsal, the woman sitting next to me turns to me. She goes, well, that was interesting. And I was embarrassed, and I thought, well, maybe I'll take the music home and learn it. So I took it home, and I tried to get a CD at the local library. The only one I could find was How Lovely Is Thy Dwelling Place from the Verdi Requiem, or sorry, from the Brahms Requiem. And so I listened to it all week. I drove my employees nuts because I was playing it constantly all week. And then after I'd close the office down, I'd sing with it. But I was singing with the melody line, which is the soprano line, right? And when it went up high, I just sang with it. I didn't know any different. And I got to choir rehearsal, and I felt really comfortable with that song. So I waited for that song. I didn't sing with any of the other songs. And when How Lovely Is Thy Dwelling Place came out, I just sang it out, full out. Well, I'm sitting in the alto section, and I'm singing soprano. And eventually, we get up to the real high part, and I'm the only one singing, and everybody's turning around staring at me. And I went, oh, my gosh, what? I just stopped. And the choir director goes, okay, like that. And then we kind of went on to another piece. And then after the rehearsal, she said, nice rehearsal, everyone. Catherine, I want to talk to you. And I thought, she's going to tell me.
Not to come anymore.
That I sing too loud.
Sticking out like a sore thumb. How dare you reach those high notes?
And instead, she said, "What? Where'd you get those pipes from?" She goes, "We're going to make you into a soloist." And I said, "No, I'm just here to meet men. I don't want to sing solos.
I'm just here to meet men."
And it took her a year. It took her a year to convince me, but she finally convinced me to sing a solo. And then she took me to, we did the rehearsal on Saturday, and it was with an orchestra and everything. I was scared to death. And we did the rehearsal, and she took me to lunch, and she said, "I want you to hear something." And she popped this cassette into her car, and it was the solo that I had just sung. And I listened to it, and I said, "Oh, she's really good. Who's the soloist?" And she thought, "Catherine, that's you. I recorded our rehearsal. That's you singing." And I teared up, and I said, "You mean I sound like that?" Because you don't hear your own voice
No. The
way it sounds, especially when it's in, you know, a church with the reverb and all that.
Yeah.
It sounds different.
The ambient sound, they call it.
And I said, "If I sound like that, maybe I should do something with this." And she said, "That's what we keep telling you, Catherine." So that's what I did. I sang
Isn't that amazing? Completely innocent. Go ahead. So you sang what?
I sang for three teachers at three different universities to ask to see their opinion. You know, do I really have a voice? Do I have a shot at an opera career? And all three of them told me the same thing. You're too old. You're 31 years old. It's you're past all of the competitions. The age ends for Metropolitan Opera competition at 31. So you don't have any languages. You don't have the repertoire. Most people start when they're 18. And so everybody told me the same thing. But one teacher at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor said, "I'm on sabbatical for 6 months. I will take you on as a student, and I will make you into an opera singer if you're serious." And so I closed my ad agency, I moved to Ann Arbor, and I devoted my life to becoming an opera singer from that point on. And that's how that started.
And I want, you know, I'm so glad, you know, we've just met, by the way, folks, we just met today for the first time. Well, no. You are one of my art, what do you call those things?
Gallery 14. Gallery exhibit.
And we met briefly. And then that may have been a couple of years ago. And now somehow we reconnected on Facebook, and here you are today. But I'm so glad you didn't tell me your story till now, because, I mean, it just touched my heart. This is just amazing. With the innocence, everything was done so innocently, and yet God's hand opened up these doors. If you don't mind, and if you think we should go somewhere else, we can go there. But you did tell me one thing, and that was the story of you going to Italy. Some famous individual came to America And then he would pull you aside and say,
right.
out of all the students, he wanted you to come to Italy and train under him. Could you tell that story concisely?
Yeah. The first competition I ever did was the Bel Canto, National Bel Canto competition. There were 300 opera singers that were competing for 14 positions to study with Maestro Baracchi from La Scala Opera. He was the artistic director for La Scala for 30 years. And the prize was they were going to take us over to Italy, all of us, to study, but they ended up not having the funds to do that, so they brought Maestro Baracchi to us, and we studied at Northwestern University in Chicago mm-hmm. with him. And at the end, the culmination of it was that they had a patrons concert, and it was my first time in front of orchestra, and I was singing the aria from Turandot, and it's a really tough aria, and of course first time in front of orchestra and everything, and Maestro saw that I was nervous, and he took me out back, and this is for anyone who's ever nervous in front of a crowd or anything else. This story is amazing. He said to me that adrenaline is a natural part of the body. It's natural, and that if you know how to use it, you can use it to strengthen you, to prepare you for the performance.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, what I want you to do is before you go out there, it's natural when you have 5,000 eyes on you, sets of eyes, to be frightened. Mm-hmm. It's a flight or fight situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So he said, what you need to do is jump up and down right now. And I was in a gown in my heels, right? He says, either that or run circles around me. So I did. I ran circles around him with my high-heeled shoes and everything. And we were out behind the theater, and then he says to me, look at the skyline of Chicago. It's beautiful, because we could see it over the water.
Hmm.
And I said, I don't care that it's beautiful. I'm going to die in 15 minutes. And he says, you're not going to die. I'm conducting. You'll be fine. And he says, let's sing it now together. Sing it to the skyline of Chicago. So he did the music, and I sang. And then he said, when I was all done, he said, now your adrenaline is up, and what that means is it's not going to hit you all at once, because when you go out there, it hits you all at once. It takes your breath away, makes your knees weak. Yeah. It causes your heart to beat. So you're already halfway there. So now
fear can paralyze creativity.
Absolutely. And so he said, and then I started to walk in the theater, and he says, oh, Kati says, don't walk like that. It's like a football player. He says, don't go on the stage fast. He goes, go slowly, because you're in chiffon. And he says, you have to wait for the dress to catch up to your body, you know, to move with
what,
it.
What a man of nobility.
And then he said, always leave the stage slowly, because a diva gives up the spotlight reluctantly. So always leave the stage that way. And so I have a film of it, and it's incredible, because it looks like I've been on stage my whole life. I walked out with such confidence because I'd already done it. I'd already sung it. And
yeah.
I sang to these people and came off. And as a result, I ended up with my first gig with Los Angeles Opera Orchestra, singing a cover for Gaina Dimitrova, who was a star at the Metropolitan Opera at the time. And that just kick-started my whole career.
Here's a person who couldn't read a note of music, couldn't sing, had no idea, and just went to join a choir at a church so she could meet a man.
But this
is crazy.
But this concert then, that's when Maestro Baracchi took me aside, and he took this Italian woman who was our Italian teacher, and he had her come, so I understood exactly what he was saying. And
she was an interpreter.
Right. He invited me to study with him privately in Italy, and she said he's never done that in the 10 years that he's been doing this with our opera students, that he's never made a private invitation. And so I went to my church that I was with at the time. I couldn't afford to go, and I told them there that I wasn't going to go because I couldn't afford it, but it was a wonderful opportunity. Well, the pastor called me the following week, and he said, there are many in the church that want to make this happen for you, but we want to do it anonymously, and so we want you to do a concert for us. We want you to do an opera concert for us, because we've never heard you sing opera.
And they can pay you for it,
and
that way it's done anonymously.
We're going to pass the hat around afterwards, and there was more than enough to not only get to Italy to study with him, but also to study at the British Institute to learn Italian.
Oh, my word.
So it was just an amazing, and that's what I ended up doing, was going and
staying. Now, tell the story about where the you end up with someone who was gracious to people in the arts.
Yeah, when I got to the British Institute, apparently I had not checked the box for housing. Or something happened, but I got there and they had no housing left in the university. And I said, I can't afford, I don't have a budget for this. I had just have the budget for housing that was in the, you know, there, a single room or, you know, double. And she said, I'm so sorry. And I said, well, I'm here to study with Maestro Baracchi from La Scala Opera. And her eyes got really big. And she says, you an opera singer? And I said, yes. Yeah. She goes, moment. And she turns around in her desk and she dials rapidly on the phone and speaks in
pronto,
Italian.
Pronto.
And then she writes something on a note and she slid it across the table. She says, at 3 o'clock, go to this address. And I said, what's there? And she said, just take your bags. So the taxi driver took me up and it was a narrow little road. And it overlooked Florence. Oh. And but when we got close to the place,
all there was
walls. All there was these brick walls that you could see of estates. And then there was this big gate, this big iron gate that you couldn't see through, and a call box. And he just took my bags. He didn't speak any English. He just dropped them there. And I was like, well, what now? So I pressed the call box. And the woman said, chi è, which means who is it? And I said, well, I'm from the British Institute. Well, she said, chi è? So I looked it up real quick in the dictionary. What's that mean? And it says, who is it? So I said, Catherine Larson. And the gates just opened. And you could see this estate beyond. And it was incredible. This woman had me singing for the granddaughter of the Guggenheim, doing private concerts at her home. And I was passed around through several families in Florence and taken to places I
were you able
could
to proclaim
imagine.
Your faith at this point?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. From this point, then I went on to do several operas like Turandot and Aida and Madame Butterfly. And,
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day. Drive them.